Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, there are still thousands of Americans unaccounted for from the conflicts of the 20th century. This year is the 100th anniversary of our entry into World War I, and there are still several thousand World War I soldiers and military-adjacent people who are helping out the military that are still unaccounted for. From World War II, there are tens of thousands unaccounted for. Vietnam, Korea. It's a sad fact that there are some people who are still unknown as far as their location and what may have happened to them. Our next guest is from the National League of POW MIA Families. Ann Mills is here to talk to us about that organization, their mission, and what they are doing for the POW MIA community. Ann, good morning. How are you today? Oh, I'm sorry. I put you on the wrong line. Ann, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. If you can tell us, of course, you are representing the National League of POW MIA Families. Can you tell us about your personal connection to the POW MIA community?
I certainly can, as long as you don't focus on that instead of the meaning of the day to everyone. But my brother, Jim Mills, Navy Lieutenant Commander, has been missing in action in North Vietnam since September 21st, 1966, so 51 years next week. And that's what really gets anyone eligible to be a voting member of the National League of POW My Families, and whose mission is to obtain the fullest possible accounting for U.S. prisoners of war missing in action and others unaccounted for from the Vietnam War, though it's now, thanks to our persistence, gone to include recoveries of those who didn't return from World War II and the Korean War.
And we are speaking with Ann Mills from the National League of POW MIA Families. And today, you just mentioned it. I actually didn't. It is National POW MIA Recognition Day, Friday, September 15th. How important is it to you, Ann, that we have a day like this to let people know there are still tens of thousands of Americans who are unaccounted for?
Well, it is really important, and I want to thank you for asking me to come on. You know, it's important to honor and recognize the returned POWs and our veterans and those who didn't return, the MIA's POWs. But the most important meaning of today for all of us who are still working hard to get answers is that to renew the commitment of our country and the American people to accounting as fully as possible for those who serve. We need to prove that even if they're captured or missing, our country doesn't just opt out and walk away, but will do its best. Having said that, we're very reasonable. Vietnam War families have been reasonable, and when we were first formed in 1970, right in our charter, it says to obtain the fullest possible accounting for those who are captured or missing, which means you got to be reasonable, you got to be rational, and there's no such thing as full or complete accounting. And if you hear anybody say that, you know it's empty rhetoric.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there are some, it's extremely unfortunate, and we've talked with people about World War I specifically. There's still a few thousand from World War I, some of which were lost at sea. I mean, obviously, will never be recovered there, and we can never know truly what happened to them. And World War I, just because of the massive number of people involved, that has the largest number of POW, MIA, and unaccounted for service members and service member adjacent folks. When we speak of Vietnam specifically, to me, growing up, Vietnam was so closely associated with the POW MIA movement because we just didn't know if some of them might still be alive because there were prisoner of war camps over there. A question for you as someone who's been involved with this, has the normalization of relations between the United States and Vietnam helped out in the efforts over there?
Well, normalization of relations was a byproduct, really, of the cooperation that I worked on with the U.S. government as part of an interagency process since President Reagan first came into office and made it a priority. So actually, it was a well-implemented Vietnamese plan to incorporate this issue as a means of bilateral dialogue initially, because we didn't have a relationship with Vietnam at all. So it was sort of like the core and fundamental basis, and it built upon that, and there were a lot of conditions. It was called a roadmap to normalization of relations, and it kind of went step by step. But now, the cooperation that has built over those years, using this issue as a foundation, has benefited both the Vietnamese government, the American government, and the people of both countries because of the breadth of what is now termed a, quote, comprehensive relationship. And yes, it has been very helpful in that process. But does that mean that we have all the information or cooperation we need? No, it does not. There is more that they can, and I believe will do. Just saw the ambassador from Vietnam to the United States last night at their Vietnam house celebrating their National Day, which actually was September 2. But also at that event was our newly named director for the Defense POWMI Accounting Agency, the largest agency ever, largest effort ever put together by any country to try to stand behind the people that are captured and missing and, if possible, bring them home. But like you said, I mean, it was World War II. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Paul Tselfa, just said at our national meeting in June that as many as 47,000 in World War II were lost in ships sunk at sea or will otherwise be unrecoverable. So they're not missing. They didn't return from war, and it was a tragic loss. But are they going to be recovered? No. That would be basically mission impossible.
We're speaking with Ann Mills from the National League of POW/MIA Families. Today is National POW/MIA Recognition Day. And as you were just mentioning, World War II, I think it shocks people. I was talking to, we're a team of veterans here at CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com, and I was talking to one of my fellow veterans about the POW/MIA issue, and they were shocked. This is someone who served in the military, was shocked that 73,000 Americans from World War II alone remain unaccounted for. So this is an issue that I think most people are familiar with the flag, the POW/MIA flag. They're familiar with some of the stories that they may have picked up here and there from Vietnam specifically. But this is a much larger issue than a lot of people think it is. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I think the important thing to remember here is that flag is the flag of the National League of POW/MIA Families. It was put together and approved by us in 1970, before the end of the war. When things began to grow and we kept the pressure on, and the U.S. government, when President Reagan came in, took it seriously, we're never going to see this kind of thing again. It's a different type of war. It's a different type of communication. Vietnam War really started it because it was a television war. Everybody saw it going on. But one of the biggest absences in my mind, and I've been talking to our new director, Kelly McKeag, and others at a higher level. We've got to get back to why should our military not have information coming out military-wide, worldwide, as they did in the Reagan administration. President Trump has absolutely committed and is taking actions to prove his commitment to those now serving, to increase their budgets, to our veterans, and to ensure their care. And our men are unreturned veterans. There's an obligation there. But what it has done, that our flag, now we extended it to include all people missing from all wars, and that is how it's recognized. The education factor needs to be pursued by the U.S. government, and I'm working closely with them to do it. But another thing that just happened today, I mean, the news just broke. I had already heard about it a couple days ago. But in Cambodia, the Prime Minister Hun Sen, whom I have worked with since 1984 and who made a pledge to ensure that this issue with us remained separate and humanitarian, as it should be after any war for all countries that are civilized. And he had never violated this, I hope. He will reconsider, but I also hope it's not really true as has been depicted in the press coming out of Phnom Penh.
As you mentioned, it is a different era now, a different type of warfare that's taking place. I mean, if you look back at the Gulf War, we have only two cases of killed in action, body not recovered, two Navy officers lost in February of 91, both aircraft that went down in the Persian Gulf. So again, the sea can sometimes claim a body and not give it back, essentially. When you do see stories like we've reported here of the remains of World War II veterans being identified, of Vietnam veterans being identified, does that give you hope that at some point we might be able to find those who are, those who it's possible to identify at some point?
Oh, absolutely. There's every reason for hope, not only Vietnam War, but recoveries. I mean, it's a worldwide effort. World War II recoveries are taking place in Papua New Guinea, Tarawa, just Indonesia, Philippines, you name it. And those kind of recoveries are certainly possible. In Vietnam War, we really do have the opportunity to get the fullest possible accounting. That was our chartered reasoning. It is our reasoning today. It should always be fullest possible. But yes, of course it's possible. We have the best scientific effort ongoing for both DNA and anthropological analysis of remains. So sure, we can get more recoveries, we can get them identified, but guess what just happened? On September 11th, they announced, when I knew some remains had been recovered and they had finally located, miraculously, the incident involving my brother, they just announced his pilot, there were two in the aircraft, was identified. His name is Lieutenant Commander Jim Bowder, and his family was just notified that his remains, those partial remains, a femur, a leg bone, had just been identified through DNA, and he is now accounted for. And that, he disappeared off of radar in 1966, and he was recovered. Those remains were recovered on the massive continental shelf off the coast of Vietnam in very shallow water. And the incident was because a fisherman in Vietnam snagged his fishing net on the fragments of that aircraft. That's how they were able to locate this with high underwater technology. So that was just September 11th that we got this news. It's really good news because it gives hope to a lot of other families, and maybe even my family. But that certainly we never expected, because I've never focused on his case. It would have been inappropriate. I've been doing this for 40 years. I can't focus on my brother's case, or that would be preferential. So I couldn't do that, and I never would. But this was truly an incredible discovery and then report that just came out this week, September 11th.
Amazing. And that we are speaking with Ann Mills from the National League of POW MIA Families, who does have that personal connection. Her brother was lost 51 years ago. And as she just told us, they just located the partial remains of the other person who was in her brother's aircraft. So there is still hope out there for some families to gain some sense of closure. Ann, is that true? And is that what the families are typically looking for at this point?
Absolutely. Well, closure isn't the word I like to use, but it's often used, and it to some means the same. To us, it means concrete answers to end the years of uncertainty. You can deal with the death of a loved one in service to our country if you know, in fact, he died, and if you're blessed to receive his remains that are identified, and he can come back to our country and to his family and be buried with military honors. If you don't have that completeness to end an unending uncertainty, that's what has motivated this issue all these years, and how the National League of POWMI Families has survived is the vast support of our veterans community, in particular like Air Force Sergeants Association, Special Forces Association, Special Operations, VFW, Legion. All of them have supported us over the years, and because of that, and because we just wouldn't go away, we now have over 600 people assigned full-time to the new Defense POWMI Accounting Agency. Yes, there's reason for hope. We've fought hard to get to where we are, and we really appreciate your coverage and connecting with veterans to publicize what this really means and how it should be viewed. I just got back from Keesler Air Force Base yesterday, and they had a whole week of activities going on They even held their ceremony a day or two early so that I could participate. And today they're finishing their 24-hour POWMI remembrance run, where they were reading all the names of all the people from all wars that were missing from that area. 24 hours they were going to run and read those names. It's being done all over the world. It's being done in our bases and posts, and even in Turkey and in Iraq. And we hear from them all around the world. And they're so grateful for what they write to us, because they say, we know if something happens to us, you'll be there for us. That's important for our troops serving today, to know that, that our country will be there for them.
And as we get farther away from the last conflict, where there were a large number of missing in action, that of course being Vietnam, which was the conflict in which your own brother went missing in action, do you worry that people will forget about this issue, despite the fact that we have, I mean, close to 100,000 Americans still unaccounted for?
Well, no, I mean, it's a concern, but as long as there are people who care about our armed forces, and this is a particularly good opportunity to press this. It's not just the annual, which is done, has been done since the first one was 1979, and it was minimal. Now, today, I see there are so many ceremonies being held around the world and in this country, it's impossible to count them. There are benefits and detriments to social media and our instant communication. Detriments are misinformation. Some call it fake news now. We've been having to deal with misinformation ever since the communication age advanced. But because of that, and because of the values and the freedoms that our armed forces fight for, there is every reason to believe they would still stand behind this issue to continue it. And you mentioned only two left from the Gulf War. I remember those cases so well. And they literally went off the continental shelf and will never be recovered. But there were witnesses who saw it. It was instantly reported. And we won't have that large volume. The lessons learned over these years, and in particular from the Vietnam War, we don't have people serving today that are not appreciated and thanked for their service to our country in this really tenuous terrorism state that the world is in. So people do recognize the importance of what our military and others, our State Department and other officials serving our country, what they're doing for all of us. And therein lies our obligation to stand behind them, all of them, even if unreturned from past wars.
We've been speaking with Ann Mills from the National League of POW/MIA Families on this, the National Remembrance Day for our prisoners of war and missing in action. And if people want to find out more about your organization, where can they go to do so?
Oh, the easiest way, since almost everybody's online, is our website. And it's just POW, all under lowercase, but POW-MIAFamilies, plural, .org.
Well, Ann, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I also want to thank you for the great work that you and your organization are doing.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.